Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Over the holiday weekend, border officials in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas say they took into custody more than 400 undocumented migrants traveling in three large groups, including 52 unaccompanied children. Our next guest examined what happens to children once they're in government custody, inspired in part because she came across this recording from a few years ago of a 911 call about a suicide attempt by a child being held at a shelter.
Hello, sir. I have a youth that attempted to kill himself.
A youth that attempted to kill himself. Well, reporter Otto Bogado is a senior reporter and producer covering immigration for Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting. And Otto, when you heard that 911 call, you know, what'd you think?
You know, I'd already requested federal records regarding suicidal episodes of migrant children in federal custody in 2019. It's something that I started hearing a lot more about. And by 2020, I had to sue the government for those records. And shortly thereafter, I stumbled upon this recording and sort of hearing that. And, you know, later in the tape, it goes into the description of two times when the child is, you know, has tried to take his life, made me think, we really need to get these records. It was quite a fight. We literally had to sue the government to get them. But this is a window into what's happening in some of these shelters.
Well, and let's say what you found, because it's right up front. You found nearly 600 episodes where children considered or attempted suicide. And the number of attempts, I believe, was about 10. But no child, we rushed to say, died by suicide.
Correct. And it is important to note that we have found no records of any child dying by suicide in refugee agency custody. And that is important to note. Also important to note is that the majority of episodes were children who were talking about past thoughts of suicide or a past attempt, almost always in their home countries, sometimes, you know, in border patrol custody, sometimes on the journey. That was very eye-opening, right? Because we had more than 500 records, close to 600 records. And what that signals for us is there's an incoming population that's already dealt with a tremendous amount of trauma. There are children who are very young as 6 years old, talking about, you know, when they were 5 years old, they had a plan of how they were going to end their life, right? Mm-hmm. Then for those kids who are in custody, what's interesting about that population is that those kids had been in custody for about 37 days, which is consistent with so much of what I've heard from migrant children, from their families, from advocates, even from people in the agency. You know, it's around that 1 month mark where kids just really start feeling very, very, very desperate. Mm. And something else that we did find often in the records was that kids made friends with other kids who were in the same situation. But then those friends leave. Those friends are reunified. And for the kids that are left behind, right at that, you know, an average of 37 days, that's when they start expressing thoughts of ending their life or, unfortunately, attempting to do so.
Well, and what your work also reveals is the many different places a child can be. There are these emergency shelters. There's also state-licensed shelters. There's a foster system where they might be with families. But what's the importance of knowing the difference between the emergency shelter and the licensed shelter when it comes to this vulnerable population?
Yeah, and that was a really major finding for us, is that emergency shelters were not prepared to deal with what we think is a predictable challenge. We found that emergency shelters, nearly half the time, were sending kids out to psychiatric wards and emergency hospitals or having mobile crisis units, you know, come in because they couldn't meet the challenge at hand. Over and over again in the emergency shelters, which are unlicensed, children are just very often sent out to, like I said, to emergency rooms.
Well, for instance, you tell the story of a 16-year-old from Guatemala who'd been in custody in Dallas for nearly a month, as you said, and this was in an emergency shelter at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in Dallas. 2,300-bed facility run by a military contractor. They are not child care experts. Their record keeping is somewhat spotty in that, you know, some records about children with suicidal ideation had three different summaries, very different summaries of what had happened. But this young man was in a shelter. His good friend had left, had gotten out, and he was all alone again, said he was thinking of taking his life. He was sent first to a local emergency room, then to a licensed shelter in Florida. This is really like moving furniture pieces around. You know, it can't be healthy for them.
That's a really good way to put it. And something that I didn't expect was the number of times that children would witness children who were at the point of suicide or attempting to do so, and then they would tell an adult on that child's behalf. And it's just, it doesn't have to be this way.
Well, how should it be, Alra? You know, right now, systems seem to be overwhelmed with both the number of undocumented young people, but also adults. Children fare better in foster families. It's hard to get foster families for children across the United States, so maybe children shouldn't be in the emergency shelters but should be in the licensed shelters. And I mean, what is the solution?
Yeah, we do see that in licensed shelter, you know, with some exceptions, there seem to be better outcomes. The nice thing about a licensed shelter is that in any state, any reporter, any member of the public can get the inspection records. When it's an emergency shelter, you can't even get that kind of record. The only kind of record that you're going to be able to get is a federal record. And oftentimes you're going to have to wait years, possibly sue the agency to get it. Emergency shelters, I should say, have now been phased out. They have all become influx facilities, which the refugee agency says meet the same standards as licensed facilities, yet are also unlicensed. So again, we can't see the records of what's going on. In our records, we found, for example, that one of the emergency shelters, the site lead for that case was the former Border Patrol chief, who came under a lot of pressure after it was found that she was part of a xenophobic Facebook group. Several children had died, you know, under her tenure. But the refugee agency says that it's not in a position to kind of make those calls. And so I do think that there can be a lot of tweaks that can be made. And there's, you know, different reasons why that's not happening. But I think that what most people can agree on is that almost all of these children have a family member here in the United States. And we see that children are returned to their families often within, you know, less than a month. The refugee agency says that today it's only taking 25 days for children to be home. And what we see in the records is that sometimes the very people who are in charge of reuniting these families, the case managers, are just simply not doing their jobs. There's children who haven't even heard from their case manager ever, you know, after 14 days, or maybe only talked to them once. And children in these systems, they know. I mean, they're incredibly intelligent, you know, and they're essentially holding this over the shelter saying, if I don't talk to my case manager, I'm going to take my life. You know, but that's how desperate these children are.
So it seems like the big takeaway from this is that there's a time frame that officials should really keep an eye on, which is around 35, 37 days, 30 days, beyond which a child's desperation might grow to the point where they want to take their life. I mean, it seems as if nothing else, it can serve as a way for officials to try to hurry up the process by then.
Yes, and to their credit, I do think that the refugee agency, you know, they were not looking forward to this story, but they were pretty open about talking about, you know, their perspective and how they see things and the challenges that they're having to deal with. At the same time, it's, you know, still has made a decision to have unlicensed shelters. And I think it's good that now the average stay is 25 days. But that also is just an average. You always have a range within that. So there are certainly children who've been in there more than 25 days, more than a previous investigation we've done. We found nearly 1,000 children had been in for a year or more. And so for those children, it is really difficult still.
Aura Bogado, senior reporter and producer covering immigration for Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And as always, if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Write this number down, 1-800-273-8255.